It's good to celebrate the birth of a baby. In fact, recently in the last, I don't know, decade or two, there has become the celebration of finding out what gender the baby's going to be, often called a gender reveal party, as pictured here. In fact, I got to participate in one of these last night via phone call, as my little sister found out that she and her husband are having a little girl. Should we celebrate births? Absolutely. But should we be celebrating Jesus' birth? That's what a lot of people might ask. In fact, it's a debate sometimes that comes up about this time of year. Should we celebrate Jesus' birth, especially in December? Because there's a few considerations to keep in mind. Some things we do know about the birth of Jesus, such as there was a really big trip that was happening to Bethlehem, not just for this family. As Luke records, the Romans were trying to get a census of how many people were in the nation, but it actually seems that there's other reasons that were bringing others to Bethlehem. I think the census is why Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem specifically when it was super, super full. But it's probably, and most scholars would suggest this, happening during the time of one of the Jewish festivals that brings all the faithful Jews to Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem is only a few miles away from Jerusalem. It's within walking distance, in fact. And so that's one of the reasons, probably, why Bethlehem is bursting at the seams with people. And Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, because that's where he also needed to register for this census. We also know that there are shepherds who are hanging out in the fields in the middle of the night. Now, I don't know about you, but December 25th doesn't seem like a great time for camping to me. And likely, if you're in the Jerusalem area, it's also uncomfortable to camp there this time of year. It's likely, based on the few little details we have within the Gospel of Luke, that this happened probably in the September to October time frame, around the festival known as Sukkot. It's likely what brought everybody to Jerusalem. So why are we celebrating Jesus' birth on December 25th? Again, the controversy increases, and it depends on who you ask. Some people would suggest that the 4th century church was trying to replace the popular pagan festivals as now Christianity became legalized. Now that the Roman Catholic Church has taken power, Constantine wants to kind of Christianize some things that are already popular. And December 25th is the time that Saturnalia, or the celebration of Sol Invictus, which is one of their sun god celebrations, that would have happened on December 25th. So since there's already a party, let's go ahead and replace it and give Jesus glory for that. Now, there may be some truth to that history. It's a little unclear, depending on which historian you're trying to learn from. And this reason alone is one of the causes why some of our friends and relatives may not celebrate Christmas, because they don't want to have anything to do with any vestiges of paganism. That's fine. There's another theory that comes out that says people in the early centuries of the church started coming up with all these new and different traditions. One of the traditions is that Jesus was conceived on the same day he died. And as we all know, Jesus died on March 25th. It's in the calendar. Well, if he died on March 25th, then that would mean that his birth, exactly right 9 months later, because babies always come exactly when they're expected, would have been December 25th. Maybe. So that's one of the reasons why December 25th celebrates Jesus' birth, according to some historians. I think, like us, they get the winter doldrums and wanted a celebration, and this is a good time. You see, the Bible doesn't actually tell us that we have to celebrate Jesus' birth. It tells us we need to observe and memorialize his death and resurrection, but there's no command for us to observe his birth. So you can or you cannot. That's okay. But December 25th is when our culture as a whole remembers Jesus' birth. And I think that's pretty neat that we get to see many folks who the rest of the year don't care about Jesus, They start thinking about Jesus. And that's at least a step in the right direction, and we can work with that. But through all these things, the history of Christmas has grown and compiled and changed and turned. So you go from a memorial of Jesus' birth to now trees and lights and this red man who breaks and enters into almost everybody's home, dressed up in red, and he steals all the sweet food that you leave out. Sounds more like a mouse than a saint to me, but nonetheless, this is what the tradition has arisen. And it has actually become so commercialized that now a phrase has arisen and said, keep Christ in Christmas. Which I'll refer you to the last slide, and you know, we're not commanded to, but I get the sentiment. Remember Jesus, because that's why we started all this. And so some people are brought to this crossroads, this commercialism, this Santa Claus, this tree, all these things have nothing to do with Jesus, and they say, should we even celebrate Christmas? And I would say, sure, you can celebrate Christmas as long as you don't do it this way. Hugging grizzly bears for Christmas is a bad idea, no matter where you are. A family rented a grizzly bear. Apparently you can do that for family photos. All these traditions around Christmas are just that. There are traditions. And I would suggest, and this is my personal conviction, that if you don't have any paganism or idolatry in your heart when you're doing the tree, the decorations, the lights, the Santa Claus, enjoy the traditions, because it's the same as Valentine's Day. It's the same as St. Patrick's Day. It's the same as Columbus Day. Or next month we're celebrating Martin Luther King Day. It's just a tradition. But then that still brings us to that first question I asked. Should we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Is there something to be celebrating today? And if we do celebrate the birth of Jesus, what exactly is it we are celebrating? Well, I go back to that idea of celebrating the birth of a baby, or even just celebrating the gender, when you find out what gender your baby's going to be. Is that worthy of celebration? I think so. But is it worthy of celebration to remember that Jesus was born? And all we have to do is go back to that first birth announcement. Not the pending birth announcement, but rather the fact that it has happened. It's arrived. And we can turn to Luke chapter 2. And there's two verses there where a heavenly host appears. And this angel is making the announcement. It has happened. He says, so the angel said to these shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I believe in this one announcement, there are three things that we should and can celebrate about Jesus' birth. Three things that this angel is exclaiming about our Lord. And whether you remember December 25th as the day that we're going to remember and memorialize Jesus' birth, or if it's June and July when you're blaring those Christmas carols out, but you're remembering this announcement, I think there's three things that we can remember about the birth of Jesus that are pretty spectacular. Look here at verse 11. Today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior. A Savior. The first thing we memorialize about his birth is that he is our Savior. Which means we need to acknowledge that we need a Savior to begin with. That means there's a problem, right? There's no need for a Savior if there's no problem. You don't throw someone a flotation device if they're walking on the side of the pool. It makes them mad. Don't do that. So why would we need a Savior? And of course, I think most of us are so familiar with the idea that there is this problem of sin introduced the very first humans. You see, sin is simply saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you when you say sin is unfulfilling. I don't trust you when you say sin is dangerous. I don't trust you when you say sin is bad for me. I trust myself instead. My own desires, my own heart, my own way of thinking. That's what basically sin is. And that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They said, you know, God, I don't trust you about this knowledge of good and evil tree. I think it'll be fine. They were the first, but certainly not the last, to sin. And so that creates a big problem. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that what we deserve when we sin, or the wages of sin, is death. So there's a problem. We need a Savior. And so the first thing is that we're being told that there's a Savior. We celebrate that not just because there is a Savior, but also it reminds us that God cares about us. See, God could have said, okay, you guys got a problem. You better figure it out yourself. See, there is one solution we don't really like to talk about when it comes to sin. And you have the option to pay for your own sin. After all, you're the one who did it, right? You can pay for your own sin. It's actually a real American perspective, isn't it? I can do it myself. I can pay for this myself. I don't need any handouts. I don't need any help. I'll do it myself. Well, that's what a lot of people act like when they reject Jesus. They say, you know what? I can do this myself. I'll pay for the sin myself. And while they may not articulate it that way, that's the statement they're making. You see, God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to have to pay for it. He cares about us. He's concerned that that payment is too much. It'll cost us our very souls. And so he wants to save us. He cares. He loves us. And so this announcement is also an invitation. It's an invitation to be saved from our sin. The birth of Jesus is an invitation calling out to all people saying, come, take advantage of this. Take advantage of this option. And so, as we remember that Jesus was born, and we memorialize that today, December 25th, we're also remembering that God is inviting us to be saved from our sin. So the first memorial, the first thing we celebrate, is that Jesus is our Savior. We go back to verse 11, we see that in the city of David there's been born a Savior who is Christ. The second thing we remember or we celebrate is that Jesus is the Christ. Now you may not be real familiar with what this word means. It's not Jesus' last name, believe it or not. It means the anointed one, the one who is picked out by God. It goes back to the language of the Old Testament where God would have someone literally pour oil on the person that he says, I have designated or picked this person as next in line. Usually, it points to a king. We even learned a little bit about that when we were studying Elijah this morning. And so God picks the next king, tells one of his prophets, go and anoint them because my plan is this person is going to be in power. That's what anointed means. And Christ is just the Greek word that means the anointed one. The Hebrew word is the Messiah. You've probably heard that term before too. And so the Christ means God's anointed one, which really that means that there's a plan that's been put in place. God has a plan for the Savior. Now, the plan means that God has been setting forth things, or he's been orchestrating things, for a while. This isn't something that God just threw together. It's not like God set up the Garden of Eden and said, perfect, this is very good. That's exactly what I want. And then Adam and Eve are introduced, and he says, great, a marriage, this is wonderful, fantastic. Just make sure you don't eat that one fruit. Have any other fruit you want, any other vegetables. Enjoy it all. Be at peace with the animals. Don't worry about death. It's not anything you even understand. And then they go and they eat the fruit. And he's like, what just happened? Why did you eat that? I was not expecting that. What do I do now? Well, I guess I got to kick them out of the garden. Well, now what? That is not what happened to God. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that God knew even before he laid the foundations of the world that Jesus was going to be on the cross. That means before the foundation of the world, God knew in his mind, he says, I'm going to become a little human baby. I'm going to live this humble life. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be rejected by the people who should most expect and welcome me. I'm going to be framed and murdered. All because I love them so much. That's what Christ implies. God's plan from the very beginning. God's plan to bring people out of this problem of sin. So that means we're celebrating this invitation to submit to this plan. You see, God gives you the option whether you want to be a part of his plan or not. He only brought one plan. Now, contrary to what many well-intended people probably like to say and teach, there are not many paths to the top of the mountain, not according to God's word. If the Bible has any vestige of truth, that means there is only one plan to be saved from sin, and that's in Jesus. Now, you don't have to take that one plan. Well, that means you're going to pay for your own sins. That means you don't have a Savior. But this one plan is an invitation to submit to the plan. It's an invitation by God saying, look, I did all the work for you. All you have to do is submit to this one plan, and you will be saved. So we celebrate not only that we have a Savior, but we also celebrate that we can submit to the plan that God started from the beginning of time. And then the angel's third portion of this announcement is that he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is what it means to submit to the plan. We're celebrating that Jesus is Lord. And this is something that's often misunderstood by people, actually both in and outside of churches, is that Jesus did not die on the cross to make a bunch of nice people. Jesus did not die on the cross to make a social club. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we can have fun celebrations on December 25th or in April for Easter. That's not why Jesus died on the cross. Now, is it good for us to be nice to each other? Yes. Is it good for us to remember his death, burial, resurrection? Is it good for us to remember his birth? Absolutely. But why did Jesus come to earth in the first place? So that he could be Lord. So he could be king. King of the world, yes, but really king of your heart. See, God isn't really concerned with whether he's king over a dominion in the world. The whole earth is his already. What does he need a gold throne for? What he wants is our heart and our devotion. And so when Jesus comes to earth, he's not only our Savior to redeem us, to pull us away from sin. He's not only the fulfillment of God's plan that's been meticulously laid in place since the creation of the world. He is the King in flesh saying, I want to be in charge of your life. Again, you can be in charge of your life, but that means you're not a part of the plan. That means you don't have a Savior. If you want to be saved, then you need to submit to the plan. If you submit to the plan, then that means you're inviting Jesus to be Lord of your life. That you're inviting him to be the one who makes the decisions. And so this announcement that Jesus has come, that he is the Christ and he is the Lord, is an invitation to obey him. And not just on Sundays, not just in December, but to obey him with every day of our life. As Christians, we start thinking about things like, where would Jesus want me to be right now? Now, it's not some secret code where you have to figure out, okay, where are we going to eat tonight? Well, first of all, let's ask Jesus where he wants us to eat. But instead, it's, am I going to take this job? Can I serve Jesus working there? Or am I going to have to work so much overtime that I'm not going to be able to go to Bible class anymore? I'm not going to be able to be at worship. Obeying Jesus means that you have to take a stand for truth. When the politics and political correctness is saying, that's not a sin, that's not wrong, we have to support people in their ideas of how they view the world. But obeying Jesus says, well, I have to say what Jesus says. That is a sin. No, that's not true. This is in fact true. Obeying Jesus means the world is not going to like you. But it does mean you're part of God's plan and that you have a Savior. So we're all invited to be saved from our sin, to be a part of his plan and submission, and to obey him. And so this birth announcement, this December 25th celebration, this Christmas that we have in our culture, it's an invitation from Jesus. So then we ask, well, what are you going to do with this invitation? The angel told these shepherds, says, The Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord has been born. And then he calls them to action. He says, go find this baby. Here's how you're gonna see the baby, how you're gonna know it's the right baby. Jesus is inviting us. So what are we gonna do with that invitation? What will we do with this birth announcement? Well, you can say, well, that was a nice lesson, nice songs, nice company, and then move on with the rest of your Christmas plans for the day. You can say, oh, well, that's a good reminder. I'll come back for another reminder next week. You can say, well, I made it to my one of two times to go to worship this year. Or you can say, you know what? I want to accept that invitation. I do recognize that sin is a problem in my life. I need to get rid of that sin, but I can't do it on my own. So I need Jesus. You could say, you know, God put so much work and effort into this one plan. I can't keep vacillating back and forth. I can't keep having it being a Christian and having it, everybody gets to go to heaven. Or I can't be having it as Christian and sometimes I'll go to worship. Sometimes I'll be involved in the church. Sometimes. You can accept the invitation and say, I'm going to be committed to submission to God's plan. Whatever that looks like, I'm going to find out what that looks like and do it. And so it's an invitation to submit to Him as Lord. It's an invitation that each of us are given today. It's an invitation that we're given tomorrow, the next day, and you're given this invitation for every day of your life until the final moments of life. This invitation is extended to each one of us. If this is an invitation that you haven't accepted before and you'd like to do so today, we have an opportunity that we call the invitation song that is just that. It's us saying, our invitation is forward to everybody here. If you need to accept God's invitation, you want to do that, we want to help partner with you today to make sure that that's a reality before you leave. It's also an invitation as a congregation that if maybe you have a need, a public need where you need prayer, you need to confess or talk to the congregation publicly, that this is an opportunity to do that. But I want to encourage you that if you haven't made this invitation a part of your life, that today you do that now. If you have accepted this invitation, then I want to encourage you to recommit to Jesus as Lord of your life. See the beauty of the plan that He set forth in motion before creation, and to recognize that He's the only salvation that we have in this life. Let's all stand together.